So Galatians chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This first verse, and I want to reread it. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This first verse is the theme of the first two chapters of this book. Paul defending himself as an apostle because these false teachers working diligently to proclaim that he wasn't even an apostle, and consequently had no authority to teach the Gentiles. If they even admitted that Paul was in fact an apostle, their claim was that he was inferior to the other 12, that he had received his gospel from them, second-handed, if you will. So in this first verse, Paul establishes the fact, and emphasizes the word fact, that his apostleship was not from man, but rather came directly from Jesus. Furthermore, it is implied that the 12 did not convert Paul, did not choose Paul, nor did they appoint him, but rather Jesus Christ came from heaven to commission or assign this duty of an apostle to Paul. In verses 2 through 5, Paul gives greeting to the churches in Galatia from himself and from the brothers who were accompanying him. He says the greeting is also from God and Jesus Christ. He reminds them of the ever-important fact that Jesus gave himself for our sins so that they and we could be saved from this sinful world. Look at verses 6 through 10. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Without beating around the bush, Paul dives headfirst into the subject, the reason for this letter. Obviously, the Gentiles were fickle, were wishy-washy. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. There's a passage there that when I was studying this, it came to mind that really describes what he's talking about with them here, with the Galatians here. Look at Ephesians 4 and 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's exactly what was happening. Happening here. These Gentile Christians had rather quickly swerved from God and from the privileges afforded all Christians through Christ's grace into another gospel, into a different belief mindset. Paul goes on in verse 7 to tell them that it is really not even another gospel, but rather a perversion of the gospel that was being spread to them by false teachers. He ends this portion of chapter 1 with a warning that he repeats and to strongly emphasize, namely when he said, if anybody, we or an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than the gospel that Paul and his companions preached to them, let him be accursed. And that was in verse 8. So after Paul says this in verse 8, he says in verse 9, as we said before. And he wasn't referring to the prior verse, but rather to his warning to them on his last visit about the same thing. Look back to Acts chapter 18 and verse 23. Acts chapter 18 and verse 23. Acts 18 and 23 says, "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." And so that's the visit where he had warned them about this, and he was telling them, like I told you before. And then he repeats what he said, as verse 9, "As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So the fact that he said it twice should have carried great weight with them and with us. It's obvious here, because he warns them the same thing twice, that perverting the gospel or any Bible truth is a great sin. You know, and to be frank, that's something that really scares me as a person that stands behind the pulpit, afraid that unless I'm super cautious and extremely thorough in research and the things that I say, that I could fall under that same curse. And that's what it is. I mean, he says, let them be accursed. You know, so it's scary that you might say something that's not right. And I think the others that stand behind the pulpit probably could share that same sentiment. The rest of this chapter, Paul devotes to defending his ministry and the apostleship. Remember, we said that they not only tried to add to what he had taught to them, the fact that he was telling them that they needed to be circumcised, that false teachers were telling them they needed to be circumcised. But then after that, they went ahead to say, you know, and this person that's told you these things, he isn't even an apostle. And if he were an apostle, he's not equal to the 12. And he didn't get his apostleship as they did. He got it from them. He got it second-handed. So he uses the rest of the chapter to defend his apostleship. Look at verses 11 and 12. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." In other words, I didn't get this from a human. "For I neither received it of man nor was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul's apostleship and his knowledge of the gospel was revealed to him not by any man, but by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at the next two verses. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." In verse 13, that word conversation, "for you've heard of my conversation," that means his conduct in the past. And then the latter part of that verse, he says, "I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And wasted it is translated to mean tried to destroy it. In verse 14, "and profited or advanced in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation." So above, among those that were persecuting the church, that were trying to destroy it and waste it, he was one of the main ones, he says. "I was one of the main ones, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." So here Paul reminds the Galatians that prior to this time in his life, he was on the other side of the fence. He was one of the leaders that persecuted the church, that wasted it. And then he says, "above many my equals in mine own nation." In defending his apostleship, that's important. Let's read on verses 15 through 17. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." A lot of information in those three verses. I've said this before a few times in this series, but right here in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." It's here that Paul reveals that his apostleship was part of God's plan even before he was born. He was called by God to reveal Jesus Christ and its gospel and his gospel to the Gentiles, he says, among the heathen. Now, the word heathen, and we've talked about this before too, but I'll reiterate, doesn't carry the same connotation that when somebody does something, when somebody does something at the supper table or at breakfast that's not kosher, and we say, "You heathen." It's not that same connotation. A heathen is someone that's not part of a religious group, someone that's not a Christian, or part of some other religious group. So that's what he's talking about there. And the Gentiles were that nation. They were that people. They were rough around the edges. We've talked about this a little before. So when he says to preach him among the heathen, he's not saying it in the same way that we say that word. Paul goes on, after this, he did not seek men to learn more or to get advice. He did not seek the 12 apostles to learn about the gospel. He says he went to Arabia. And this is the only place in the scriptures that this is told. But he went to Arabia. And if you look at the Old Testament, Moses went to Arabia. Elijah went to Arabia. And why did they go there? Well, I want to read a passage to you just from some research about why they went there. So both these people, Moses and Elijah, retreated to this same sacred location, region of Mount Horeb. And they did it to seek God's protection and direction during times of intense persecution. So it's thought that when they went there, they communed with God. And it's also implied here that when Paul went there, that perhaps the reason he went there, the scriptures don't say this, but most likely for reflection, for meditation, for communion with God, and for preparation for the task that Jesus had set before him when he appointed him as an apostle to the Gentiles. He says in verse 17 that he then returned to Damascus, and that's where he first preached his newfound gospel. And we see that back in Acts. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, and well, look up in verse 19. "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul," or Paul, "certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul," or Paul, "increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So yeah, they remembered him. They said, "Ain't this the one that was one of the worst persecutors that sought to bind Christians and take them back before the chief priest?" But yeah, after he came back to Damascus was when he began to preach the gospel. Look on down to verse 26. "And when Saul," or Paul, "was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples," or tried to join himself to the disciples, "but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." That's I can understand that. I mean, because this is one of the worst people that sought harm to them, to the Christians. And so they were afraid of, I mean, you know, they weren't really willing to say, "Yeah, I want to join right in with him." "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So that was Paul after he went to Arabia, came back to Galatia, and began to do the work that God had had for him to do among the Gentile people. Look at verses 18 through 24. We'll finish up the chapter. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So, you know, if the Judaizers, the false teachers, were telling him that he got his gospel from the other apostles, then it was 3 years before he saw any of them. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But of the other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Verse 23 is pretty important. They had heard only, they didn't know in my face, they didn't recognize me, these churches of Judea. Didn't recognize me, but they'd heard that the one that was a great persecutor of Christians now preaches the faith that he once destroyed. And because of that, verse 24, they glorified God in me. You know, and that should be our prayer, that when we come in contact with other people that aren't Christians and they see either by our example or by our words or by what we try to teach them, that they glorify God because of that, that the glory goes to God. And that's what he said happened here. So verse 18 says, after 3 years, meaning 3 years after his conversion, he came to Jerusalem. After the persecution at Damascus that we just referenced in Acts chapter 9, to see Peter. And that's most likely the first time these two met. And he said, only Peter, no other apostles, to emphasize that he was not beneath the 12 in authority, nor did he receive his authority from them. He did see James, and that was not the brother of John, but who was an apostle, but rather James, the brother of Jesus. In verse 20, Paul very solemnly states, before God, I lie not. That's about as good a confirmation as you can give somebody. Before God, I lie not. Now, these false teachers are telling you that I'm lying, that I'm not who I say I am, and that I don't have any authority. But before God, as my witness, I lie not, he said. This is an important statement to the Galatians in light of what the Judaizers, the false teachers, had told them. He ends this chapter by declaring boldly that they, the churches in Judea, glorified God in me. In other words, they glorified God for the work that Paul was doing. That's all I have on this chapter. Lord willing, next month we will move into chapter 2. I would encourage you before that time to, if you want to read ahead, to study chapter 2 or read through it. So that hopefully the lesson that we bring, Lord willing, then will be of benefit to you even more than if you don't read that ahead of time. Is there any here today that have never rendered obedience to the gospel? We take this opportunity to offer that invitation to you to come forward through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, be added to the Lord's body. If you've been a member of that body but you've fallen away, James says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're in either calling, won't you come today while we stand and while we sing?